Kunjabihari. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Rama Rama Hare Hare
Rama Rama Hare Hare
Jai Gaur Chand Madhuspare Krishna Krishna Hari Hari
Jai Gaura Chand Madhuspare Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Jai Gaura Chand Madhuspare Krishna Krishna Hari Hari Krishna, Hare Hare
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare
Rama, Rama, Hare Hare
Rama, Rama, Hare Hare
Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Krishna Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama Rama Rama, Rama. join us back to pray the Lord's
Prayer.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
It was really a kids' night at the Kirtan last night. The stage was so full of children dancing, it was amazing. I think it will leave an impression on the kids, it will last forever. After the kirtan, Radhapriya came to me. She said, "Why didn't we do that when I was young?"
Yeah.
When I was young, you guys were like, you were so strict. We had fun.
Yeah, we did.
We had fun.
Different kind of fun.
So we have about 200 billion years of travel to catch up on this morning. The Brahmin has come to a kunja on the banks of the Jamuna. He has met Gop Kumar, a cowherd boy, who is the servant of Madan Gopal. Gop Kumar has essentially been sent to that kunja by Srimati Radharani that morning from Goloka to Gokula, because Srimati Radharani wanted to bestow blessings upon this Brahmin. By him having the association of Gop Kumar and hearing the story of Gop Kumar's life. And upon meeting, as we mentioned yesterday, Gop Kumar was looking at this devotee and he said, "He is so advanced. Already, he has done everything. There's only one thing left for him to do that will eradicate fully any misunderstanding and any misgiving that he may have. And that is to have direct darshan of the lotus feet of Madan Gopal. That's all he needs. We know our acharyas have told us that many things may linger with us for a long time, even after the stage of bhava bhakti. There may be some aroma within the heart that at one time aparad or offense was there, or some anartha. But by having the direct darshan of Krishna, everything will go away. Sometimes an example is given that we may repair a room in our house, and we may sand the floor, and we may put varnish, and we may paint the walls. Say you have a guest coming and you want the room to be very first class for when the guest comes. So you get all your repair work done a month before the guest is coming, and then the room is just ready. But even a month later, you open the door and you walk in, and there's some aroma that the paint is there, and some aroma that the varnish was there. It's like if any of my god brothers or god sisters are here, you can remember that every time Srila Prabhupada came to the temple, it always smelled like fresh paint. Remember that? So we were all like, before Prabhupada came, we had to like paint and fix everything. ISKCON temples back then always smelled like three things. They smelled like fresh paint, ghee cooking in the kitchen, and five roses incense. So some aroma may be there, but that aroma becomes eradicated when we see Krishna. So Gop Kumar was saying, he's just about there. What instruction can I give him? And he said, I think what will push him over the edge is if I just tell him my own story. And if he hears my own story, then he'll get the picture. And then Gop Kumar prefaces that by that statement that I said yesterday, Sva Prashamsa Dhruvo Mittu. Self-praise is as good as death. Meaning we shouldn't be accustomed to moving in life and speaking our own glories. That's a very bad thing. We shouldn't be tooting our own horn. But in order to convince this Brahmin, Gop Kumar, said, I'll tell him my story. So he begins, and he introduces himself to the Brahmin. He says, I'm a cowherd boy. I was born at Govardhan. I'm a Vaishya. My duty was just to take care of cows. I used to go with my boyfriends, and we'd take our family's cows to the fields. And while being in the fields, and while walking in the forests on the banks of the Jamuna, oftentimes we would hear somebody crying in the forest. And we noticed that it was one sadhu, and he was always in the area. And he was always overwhelmed with symptoms of ecstasy. We couldn't understand what was going on with them because we were just boys. We'd see him sometimes. He'd be dancing with his arms upraised. Sometimes he'd be crying. Sometimes he'd be laying on the floor of the floor of the forest and tears would be coming from his eyes. And we were just always observing him. And whenever he saw us simple coward boys, he always treated us like we were his best friends. It's like he could identify with being a coward boy. He said he would often meet us. He'd often pat us upon our heads, and sometimes he would embrace us, but he was always engaged in chanting. And Gop Kumar says that he said, because I was a cowherd boy and I had access to a lot of milk, he said, oftentimes I would take that sadhu a pot of milk and just offer him milk. And if I had yogurt, I would offer him yogurt. And he said, one day when I was alone, I approached that sadhu, and he looked at me, and he said, my dear child, if you wish to fulfill all of your desires, please quickly go bathe at Keshigat and come back and accept from me this mercy from the Lord of the universe. And Srila Sanatana Goswami, he says that the sadhu said it, he said, come back and accept from me this mercy, as if he was going to put something very tangible into the hands of Gop Kumar. And so Gop Kumar, he went and he took his bath and he came back. And he's telling the story to the Brahmin. He said, when I came back, he gave me the same mantra that Devi gave to you. He gave me the same mantra that you're chanting. And then, you know, he said he gave me the mantra. And he didn't do it because he wanted, you know, that he didn't do it because I had been giving him milk. He just gave it to me out of his causeless mercy because he was the crest jewel of all compassionate souls. And then Gop Kumar said something very interesting happened. He said he was just going to begin to explain to me the process of chanting the mantra, and he was going to start to explain the science of chanting the mantra, and he was going to explain to me what is the process of meditation and what is the object? Why do you chant the mantra? And he said, when he just started to explain, you know, the object of chanting the mantra, he said he started crying like a woman who's been separated from her husband. He said he just broke down. He said, I couldn't understand it. He just all of a sudden he became overwhelmed with a wave of emotion. Because when he started to speak about the deity of the mantra, He saw the deity of the mantra, who was Madan Gopal, and he became overwhelmed in separation. And then Gop Kumara says, Guru Maharaj just immediately fell to the floor. And tears were flowing out so much. The tears and all sorts of things. And he was thinking, Gop Kumara started thinking, oh my God, what did I do to Guru Maharaj? What did I do that it upset him so much? He said, maybe I offended him. And then Gop Kumara said, Guru Maharaj just got up, and in a state of frustration, he just left that place. That's first meeting with Guru Maharaj. He received initiation. He received a mantra of the name of the Lord. He became overwhelmed with ecstasy, couldn't describe anything about the mantra. And in his state of frustration and ecstasy, he just left. And so here you have this new devotee, Gop Kumara. He met his spiritual master, got the mantra, let's go. And he says that because I had respect for that sadhu, I began chanting the mantra. Maybe some of us have that experience. Maybe it's different now, because some of you all have been initiated for many, many years, and you've been blessed that for many, many years you've had the association of your spiritual masters. Your spiritual masters come, and you can meet them, and you can associate with them. Say, like Radha Priya, when she was a little girl, she got initiated by Prabhupada.
Gave me my name.
Huh?
He gave me my name.
Gave you your name? Okay. But some of us got initiated by Srila Prabhupada. We never said a word to Srila Prabhupada. He never spoke to us. And then very quickly, Prabhupada went away. We received the name, but of course we're still receiving instructions in the form of Srila Prabhupada's books and all the media that there is, but we've never had personal association with Srila Prabhupada. He got the mantra and Guru Maharaj left. But because he had faith in the sadhu, he took up the chanting, and then his journey began. His life began to change in the way that life has changed for all of us. Sri Rupa Goswami says, Yada Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha Tabhajana Kriya. First there's Shraddha, and then we have the association of merciful Vaishnavas, and we become instructed in Bhajana Kriya, activities of bhajan that will cleanse our consciousness. And then we're off on a journey. So his journey began. He left Govardhan and he wandered to the banks of the Ganga. And when he came to the Ganga, he found a Brahmin, Grihastha, who was engaged in worshipping Shalagram Shila. And he was watching the Brahmin. He had his Shila and he gave him a bath in Ganga water and offered flour, maybe gave incense, and then gave him a little something to eat. And he could see the devotion that this Brahmin had. He said, my dear Brahmin, who is this that you're worshiping. And the Brahman said, this is the Lord of the universe. And his Guru Maharaj said, if you chant this mantra, this is the mercy of the Lord of the universe, you will attain the Lord of the universe. So when he saw the Shalagram Shila, he went, ah, now I have attained my goal. This is the Lord of the universe. He watched the Brahmin finish his puja, and the Brahmin put the Shalagram inside of a box to carry him away. And Gop Kumar said, what are you doing? You can't put the Lord of the universe inside of a box. That's not normal. And the Brahmin said, my dear boy, this is the best I can do. I'm just a poor man. He said, but look, if you would like to see some opulent worship of the Lord, there's a kingdom nearby, and there's a temple, and the king worships so nicely. So Gop Kumar travels there. And they have beautiful deity worship, and they're offering gorgeous prasadam. And he says, now I have attained the goal of my life. And he's taking the prasad there, and he understands that the prasad of the Lord and the Lord are not different. But then he sees the people in that place. If the prasad becomes touched by an outsider, they reject it and they throw it away. He says, what is this? And what is their understanding? You know that they don't. Everything connected to the Lord is like the Lord. And they're throwing away prasadam. He said, what type of mentality do these worshipers have? It's very low. He became dissatisfied at heart. Then some pilgrims came and they said, oh, if you want to see something fantastic, then you go to Jagannath Puri. And there they worship Jagannath. He is the Lord of the universe. They said, it's so fantastic there that everybody in the city is fed Jagannath prasadam. And the prasadam is always perfect because it's cooked by Lakshmiji herself. And you know, in Jagannath Puri, they have the kitchen for Jagannath. And they cook in clay pots over there. And they say that all of the ingredients are just put in the clay pots, and the clay pots are stacked up. And then the cooks, they walk out of the kitchen and they lock the door. And when they come back, everything's cooked. And it's cooked by Lakshmi herself. And they say that prasadam is distributed to everyone in Puri. And when they make the offering to Jagannath, he eats everything. And sometimes Jagannath, he eats everything and the pots become empty. And then by his grace, he just fills the pots up again. Go to Jagannath Puri. So then he becomes very enthusiastic. And he goes to Puri. And he walks into the temple, and lo and behold, there's Lord Jagannath, the Lord of the universe. And he thinks, now I have attained the goal of my life. I am seeing that Lord for which I so long hankered. And he just becomes overwhelmed in ecstasy. And he says while he's there, he says when he first arrived, he saw the Lord. He said he just fell into a swoon. Well, his journey has just begun. Well, I mean, I can't calculate how long it would have been walking to the Ganga, and then going to a kingdom, and then going from that kingdom and staying in the kingdom for a long time, and then going from the kingdom to Puri. Maybe many years passed. He says, but I was always chanting the mantra my Guru Maharaj gave me. So really, by chanting his mantra, he's becoming advanced in devotional service. He's becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness very quickly. And by the time he gets to Puri, when he's looking at Lord Jagannath, Lord Jagannath is performing miracles in front of him. He can see Jagannath, not just as a statue, but he can see Jagannath speaking to people. He can see Jagannath doing very humorous things. He can see Jagannath joking and playing. So he reached the temple and he decided, he said, I'm just going to run to the altar and I'm going to grab Lord Jagannath. And he started running to the altar. And he said, the next thing I knew, I was being beaten very nicely by the bamboo canes of the guards there. And it brought me back to my senses. About 10 years ago, maybe 10, 12 years ago, I was someplace, I don't know where, and it was Rath Yatra time. And I was someplace in Russia. My phone started ringing. And I answered, hello, who is this? And there's somebody on the other end. He's going, Guru Maharaj! Guru Maharaj! Do you know where I am? And I said, no, where are you? He said, I am standing in front of Lord Jagannath on his cart at Rath Yatra in Puri. I said, fantastic. He said, Guru Maharaj, tell me, what do I do now? I said, put your arms around him and kiss him. Oh. Okay, Guru Maharaj. 5 minutes later, I get a call. Guru Maharaj! I just kissed Jagannath. He said, what do I do next? I said, get off the cart, go to Balaram's cart, do the same thing to him. So he saw Jagannath. He was running to Jagannath. He just wanted to embrace Jagannath and give some love to the Lord of the universe. And then the guards, they beat him. And then he considered, oh, such great mercy Jagannath has given me because I'm not qualified to do that. And those guards, they so mercifully stopped me from committing an offense. Then he went outside the temple, and outside the temple, they gave him one compassionate pilgrim gave him some Mahaprasadam, and then he just started relishing Jagannath in the form of the Mahaprasadam. He was very advanced already. And he said, sometimes on festival days, big people like the king and all the associates, they would come to the temple to see the Lord. He said, and on those days, common people like myself were kept from going to the temple. And he said, on those days, my heart would just burn in the fire of separation from Lord Jagannath. And then he said, on another time, he said, I went to the temple and I was standing at the Garuda Stamba in the temple. And he said, I was just holding on to the Garuda Stamba and I was looking at Jagannath and I was crying. I was crying because of love to Jagannath. And he said, then I looked up. He said, it got to such a point, his attraction for Jagannath, that he would just stand there and he would stare at Jagannath. He wouldn't chant his mantra. He would just stand and stare in ecstasy, and that's all he wanted to do. And he said, one day I was holding the Garuda Stamba and I was staring at Lord Jagannath. He said, and I looked to the very front of the temple, and lo and behold, my Guru Maharaj was there. So after some extended period of time, he meets Guru Maharaj for the second time. He said, I saw Guru Maharaj. He said, I started like making my way through the crowd in the temple and pushing people to the side so I could try to get to Guru Maharaj. And he said, just when I was approaching Guru Maharaj, he said, I looked up at Jagannath. And when I looked at Jagannath, I became overwhelmed with ecstasy. I became distracted. And Guru Maharaj left the temple. And Srila Sanatan Goswami says that generally it would be considered a grave offense if one does not follow one's spiritual master. He said, but because he was distracted by Lord Jagannath, this instance didn't count as an offense. And he said, I went out and I started looking everywhere in Puri for Guru Maharaj. I couldn't find him. And he said, but after a couple of days of searching, I found my guru. He said he was on the banks of the sea, and he was just singing the holy names of the Lord, and he was dancing in ecstasy. Who here has seen that movie Neelachala Mahaprabhu? Where you see, you know, Mahaprabhu just, you know, dancing by the sea. He said, I saw my Guru Maharaj. He said, I went and I bowed down to my Guru Maharaj. Please, computer, work. He said, I saw my Guru Maharaj for the second time. And he said, I fell down at Guru Maharaj's lotus feet. And then I arose. And Guru Maharaj gave him instructions. And and this is the instruction that he received from the spiritual master. And it's very pertinent. This instruction is very pertinent for all of us in the matter of our chanting Hare Krishna, chanting the Maha Mantra, and advancing in devotional service. He said, my dear boy, whatever you will desire while chanting your mantra, by its power, you will fully achieve. Actually, you will achieve much more than what you desire. So it's an important point. Whatever we desire while chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we will achieve that. And he says, actually, you will achieve more even than what you desire. And then he explains to him that this chanting is another form of worship to Sri Jagannath. Please have faith in this chanting and never give up your japa. Never give up your japa. And then a very important point that he makes to Gop Kumar, which is very pertinent to us also, is that when you chant your mantra, you should chant with the sankalpa. And a sankalpa, it means like a mission statement. A sankalpa means a fixed intention. Why am I chanting this mantra? What do I want from this mantra? And Sanatana Goswami says that Vaishnavas when they perform their mantra chanting, each time he says either they form a sankalpa in their mind and then they begin their chanting, or they verbally express what their sankalpa is. It's like you may say, by this chanting, I wish to become a millionaire. And then you begin your chanting. That's your sankalpa. By this chanting, I want to become a millionaire. Kalas, it will come. Or you fix your sankalpa. I wish to become a servant of Krishna. And then you begin your chanting. It will come. Or become more focused. I wish to become a cowherd boy. Like yesterday, I told you about my friend Dadu. Dadu was, he was a class act. I know that Lalita and I, we remember Dadu. Some others remember Dadu. Dadu was so focused. I'll tell you a story about Dadu. He was so focused on becoming a cowherd boy that he used to come to Mangalartik every day. And there's a certain place in the temple. You have Krishna Balaram here and Radhe Shyam here. And he would always stand at this one place in front of the column so he could keep his eyes on both of them. He would always tell me, I want to serve Krishna and Balaram, but I'll only attain that by the grace of Sri Radha. So I used to stand there with Dadu because I knew that he was like, he was really, even as a sadhaka, he was fixed on what he wanted. So I stayed with him during Mangalartik one day, and then it was time for Tulsi Puja. And so we're singing the Tulsi song, and I'm standing next to Dadu, and Dadu couldn't sing very nicely. And so he's going, Nibidana Dara Sakiranu Gata Kara Seva Adi Kara Nije Kara Nija Dasa. Dasa. Instead of Dasi, Dasa. I just want to become a Dasa. I want to become Krishna's cowherd boyfriend. I used to say, Dadu, how will it be attained? And he would look at me in his very Bengali, you know, his British English accent. He would say, many years ago, I heard from my Guru Maharaj the discussion of Krishna's activities with his boyfriends. I became spontaneously attracted. And ever since that time, that's all I've hoped for. But I do not know how I will attain that. At that time, I wrote my application. And I submitted my application into the office. But unfortunately, there was a very big stack of applications on the table, and my application went to the bottom. But I am praying for the mercy of her divine grace, that she will go into the office, she will pull my application from the bottom of the stack, she will place it on the top. That's what we should be like. Especially all of us older folks, you know, we've been practicing Krishna consciousness for such a long time, we should be thinking, what do we want to do up there? What do we want to do? Sri Rupa Goswami says, Seva Sadaka Rupena, Siddha Rupena, Seva Sadaka Rupena, Siddha Rupena, Chatrahi. He has written that we should be thinking as, you know, in Siddha position. We should be thinking in Sadaka position. What Seva do we want? And we should dwell upon that. Or in that, what is it? Nectar of instruction. Who knows nectar of instruction? Verses, text 8, what is it? Tan nama rupa chaditadi sukirtanado smitto kramena rasana manasi niyoja tishtan braje tad anuragi jananagami kalam nayat akilam iti upadesar. That the sar, or the essence of bhakti, is it 24 hours a day we engage in nicely hearing and chanting about Krishna. We chant his holy name without offenses. We hear Krishna's Leela Katha. We hear the activities of Krishna playing in Goloka Vrindavan and any of the different ways that he plays. And by that activity, we'll come to the stage of perfection. And then in the stage of perfection, it says, Tishtan Brajeta Anuragi Jananagami. We think of somebody who we aspire to follow in Goloka Vrindavan, and we always hear about them, what they're doing. How they're playing, how they're relating to Krishna. Like RP is such a cook. RP is such a mama, she's such a cook. And the other day I was, you know, reading about, you know, Radharani and her associates in Goloka Vrindavan cooking for Krishna. Like the girls, they go and they play with Krishna during the day. They play with him at Radhakund. And then nobody in Goloka Vrindavan can be with Krishna all the time. There's always sort of fierce competition going on in Goloka Vrindavan to be with Krishna. Our acharyas have written that one time Sri Radha, she was lamenting. And one of her girlfriends said, Devi, why are you lamenting? And she said, because I have so many anarthas, I can't be with Krishna. And they were saying, what are you talking about having anarthas? You don't have any anarthas. She said, no, I have so many anarthas. She said, Mother Jasoda, she's an anartha. Because she keeps me from being with Krishna. Sudam, Subal, Marumangal. They are anarthas because they keep me from being with Krishna. That gopi that lives in the village over there, she's a big anartha. They can't always be with Krishna. But they want to be with Krishna because he's the only goal of their life. So they play at midday and then they go back to their homes. And when they go back to their homes, Sri Radha is just burning in the fire of separation. Srila Bishwanath describes that her temperature is running so high, smoke's coming out. And all her girlfriends, they quickly run to the pond and they take out lotus roots full of water Can you make lotus root sabjis?
I'll try.
Oh.
Next time.
She says, I'll try. something to attain.
I'll chat my Japa and ask for that.
Something to attain.
I would ask.
I can take out these big lotus roots that are just filled with water, and they make a bed from that. And then they cover it with sandalwood paste to make it cool. And they put camphor in there to make it really cool. And then they have Sri Radha lay down on that. They're fanning her, and immediately everything starts to go up into smoke. But then one of the girls who's on the roof, and she's like a lookout, she sees it from a far distance. You know, the cows are coming home. And so they say, Sri Radha, come, take a look. Krishna's coming home. And, you know, she goes and she sees all this dust from the cows, so forth and so on. And somebody says, what is that? And somebody answers, oh, that's dust from the hooves of the cows. And she says, no, this is finely powdered camphor that's being sprinkled on my eyes to cool the burning fire of separation. And then from that burning state, RP, they take her to the kitchen. And they remove all of her fancy dress, and then she's just dressed in like a white petticoat and a white blouse, and all the jewels, garlands, everything away. And they surround her with all of those cow dung cookers. And she just starts cooking like crazy for Krishna. Maybe one day you could be there.
I'm going to pray for that when I talk.
Maybe you could be there, RP.
My intention. Yeah.
She'd turn to you and she would say, Saki, give me the ghee. Give me the spices. Give me the sugar. You could do that. But even as a sadhaka, according to Rupa Goswami, seva sadhaka rupa, siddha rupena chatrahi, whether in the position of perfection or in the position of sadhana, we're supposed to think of that. So he meets his Guru Maharaj and he says, chant with a sankalpa. Chant with your fixed intention. You will receive what you're asking for, and even more. And then his Guru Maharaj gives him a blessing. By the potency of this mantra, may you live a long time. May you always have the form of a cowherd boy, and may you develop the right mentality for tasting this mantra's fruit. So that's a nice blessing. May you live a long time. And Srila Sanatana Goswami says, that blessing means you live a very, very long time so that you can actually extract the nectar, which is to be contained in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And he says, also you live a long time. He said, always remain a cowherd boy. And always remain youthful. And you know what Srila Sanatana Goswami says? He says he blesses him to always remain young so that he will not be encumbered by the infirmities and the indignities of old age. That's something that we can all relate to, right? You know, the stuff that you have to go through when you're getting old. And he says, may you always, and later it's said also, he says, always remain a cowherd boy, always remain young. And he says, always maintain a spirit of naivety in your execution. Not naivety in terms of like the tattva Krishna consciousness, but always maintain naivety so that you don't find yourself getting drawn into the material energy. Be naive. Don't get involved in that stuff. Because if you get involved in it, all it's going to do is going to slow you down in attaining that ultimate goal that you want. It's going to attain you from actually catching the sadhya, or your goal of life. And Gop Kumar, he was thinking, okay. And then after he got the instruction, Guru Maharaj just disappeared. Just like that, bang. Guru Maharaj is talking to him, and then he's gone. Gop Kumar, he begins chanting with Sankalpa. And then he becomes the king of Jagannath Puri. He expands the festivals. He always is watching Jagannath. He becomes renounced. He turns it over to the other people. And by chanting his mantra consistently, by chanting this mantra for Gopal, something happens to him. He always starts a yearning for Vrindavan. And at one point, the yearning becomes so big, Lord Jagannath tells him, my dear boy, please leave here and go back to Braja. And so he leaves Jagannath. And he heads back to Braja, and he's walking in the forest of Vrindavan. Then he starts feeling so much anxiety from separation of Jagannath that he leaves and he starts going back to see Lord Jagannath again. So he's really, he started traveling. And while he's traveling, he meets a group of saints. And he hears something from them interesting. They were saying, do you know that above this planet, there are higher planets? He's going, no. Yes, there's planets that are the planets of heaven. There's Svargaloka, there's Maharaloka, there's Janaloka, there's Tapaloka, there's Satyaloka. There are all great personalities live. He was saying, really? By hearing, he developed the desire to go to heaven. So what did he do? He chanted his mantra with the sankalpa, I want to go to heaven. And then, you know, that I was reading this the other day. Sanatan Goswami says, very quickly, a flower airplane arrived and took him to heaven. And Vinod and I were joking. We were saying, so his mantra and his sankalpa became like calling an Uber. Because it happens over and over again. He hears about a different dimension. He chants, a flower airplane arrives and takes him there. After the kirtan the other night, I looked at Vinod, I said, so, did you call your Uber tonight? Meaning, whenever we're engaged in this chanting, we should, like, express our sankalpa. When we have kirtan, please, let me attain whatever. Please, let me whatever. He goes to Svargaloka. He lives there. He becomes Indra in Svargaloka. From Svargaloka, he goes to Maharaloka. Again, you know, and when he gets to Svargaloka, he doesn't know about Maharaloka, but he hears about Maharaloka. And so he says, let me go to Maharaloka. Hare Krishna. Very quickly, an airplane comes, takes him to Maharaloka. And that's the place where the perfected grihastas are doing jagya. And every place he goes, he sees the form of God who's worshipped in that place. He sees the form of Krishna who's worshipped in that place. So in Maharaloka, they're doing jagya. And when the Brahmins, when they go swaha, 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 the Lord comes out of the flames. And the Lord receives the offerings. And when he would receive the offerings, he would always look at Gop Kumar and go, come take some maha-prasad. He said, I really like that. He said, the Lord was always giving me prasadam. And then he said, at the time of the fires of devastation, the people in Maharaloka, they would travel up to Janaloka. And then they'd come back down. And then one day, when he was back down in Maharaloka, he he heard that there was a place called Tapaloka. And in Tapaloka, perfectly renowned saints like the four Kumars, they lived there. So he said, gosh, let's go to Tapaloka and figure out what's going on over there. And so he chants, let's go to Tapaloka, Krishna. And then he's in Tapaloka. But something interesting happens when he's in Tapaloka. In every place that he's been, he's seen the form of Krishna. He can, with his eyes, he can see Krishna. With his ears, he can hear Krishna. He can touch Krishna. And he gets to Tapaloka, and he finds the Kumaras and everyone, they're like this. He's trying to figure out, where's the Lord? And he says, how do you all worship the Lord over here? And they all said, well, we engage in meditation. So then he starts getting to like a big discussion with the Kumaras, who are like the greatest of philosophers. And they try to convince him of something. They try to convince him. They say, look, the important point is not to perceive the Lord with your external senses. The important point is to meditate on the Lord and have the experience of the Lord within your mind. The real experience is within your mind, not externally. And he was saying, I don't like this. I don't like this idea. I want to touch Madan Gopal. I want to hug Madan Gopal. I want to feed Madan Gopal. And they're saying, no, no, no. It's like you may have the experience, some of you, in like when you were young, perhaps you fell in love for the first time, or you had like your first girlfriend or boyfriend, and you went out and you held hands. And then like you held hands for like 5 minutes, but then the rest of the week, the only thing you thought about was holding hands. And so they're saying, it's like that. It's not really the matter of holding the hands, but the real experience that you maintain is within your mind. He said, no, no, I don't like that. And then they said, look, we worship Narayan Rishi. He lives in another planetary system, but we worship him by engaging in meditation. And we become so absorbed in our meditation that we experience like oneness. He said, what do you mean? And so then one of the rishis, Sanat Kumar, he sat down and he said, okay, check this out. So he said, I worship Narayan Rishi. And he sat down in a state of meditation. He became so focused upon Lord Narayan Rishi that his form transformed and it appeared to be Narayan Rishi. So total absorption by meditation. And then Gopa Kumar went, oh my God, maybe I offended these guys. And then another one said, I worship Lord Narasingadev. Sat down, assumed the form of Narasingadev. Gopa Kumar said, oh my Lord. And then they were saying, look, already you are in Tapaloka. Wake up, you're advanced. You don't get here without being advanced. Try it. Try it. And he didn't want to try it. And then one of the saints just came and put his hand on Gopa Kumara's head, and Gopa Kumara went in such a state of trance. And then he came out from his trance. And all the sages of Tapaloka, they're going, bravo, well done. And they said, how did you like it? And essentially, Gopa Kumar said, I didn't like it. And they said, why didn't you like it? He said, because when I was in that state, I couldn't chant my mantra the way my Guru Maharaj told me to chant. One day, he heard about Satyaloka, meaning the planet of Brahma. And he heard about this personality, Brahma, and how he is the original person of the universe. With Sankalpa, he chanted, he went to Brahmaloka. When he arrived in Brahmaloka, he immediately saw the Mahapurush. He saw the Lord, that Brahma came from the navel of the Lord. And he was there, and Lakshmi was there also. And Lakshmi saw this young boy, cowherd boy, and Lakshmi started like giving him some loving. And then he became Brahma. And the people who live in Brahmaloka are all like personified Vedas. The Srimad Bhagavatam lives there in the form of a person. Puranas live there in the form of people. And there's always discussion going on about Shastra. And then one time he heard a discussion, and it was about liberation. And still at this point, he had no concept of what the term liberation was. And some people started saying, liberation is very difficult to attain. Liberation is attained after practice of, you know, deliberation for like millions of years. And the Bhakti Shastras got upset. The Bhakti Shastras said, what are you talking about? Liberation is a mere byproduct of execution of Bhakti Yoga. And liberation can be attained even by Namabhasa chanting of the Lord's holy name. And we all know that from the story of Ajamil, and we know that from the description of the discussion of Haridas Thakur in the home of Raghunath Das Goswami. And because Shastras were questioning the validity of the point whether liberation could be attained by chanting mantras of the Lord's name or not, Srimad Bhagavatam just got up and walked out. Srimad Bhagavatam said, Kyapad, what is the matter with these people? And just boycotted the assembly. And then they called in some referee Shastras, and the referee Shastras said, yes, liberation can easily be attained just by the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And then Gop Kumar, being Brahma, he said, I should, you know, call back the Srimad Bhagavatam and listen to the topics of liberation from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam came back and began to speak and said, yes, it's a fact. In the Bhagavatam and in other Bhakti Shastras, sometimes the concept of liberation is raised. But the only reason that we raise it is because we want people to know how absolutely useless it is. This is the only reason that we bring up the topic of liberation. Mm-hmm. And they said, basically, we understand liberation in two ways. Liberation is a state that you come to, like if you're so asleep, you're just not conscious of anything else which is going on. That's liberation. Or they say, liberation is like the convalescent position after you have a disease. You're not cured, but you're not diseased anymore. He said, but actually, we just want people to know that it's useless. So he hears this topic of liberation, and then he becomes interested to go to the abode of liberation, which means now Gop Kumar wants to leave the material world. He's already gone to the highest place in the material world. Now he wants to go beyond to Brahman. And so just give me a second and we'll go for a few more minutes. So the Mahapurush in Satyaloka tells Gop Kumar, if you wish to go to the abode of liberation, You're going to have to make a little diversion first. Go to Mathura, to your dearmost pasturing grounds, to the land adorned with the many places of my varied supreme pastimes. Though a long time has passed since Lord Brahma himself prayed for birth as a blade of grass in Braja, that land still appears the same as it was. There you will meet your guru again, who is most dear to me. And by his mercy, you will be empowered and you will understand everything. And after some time, my dear boy, you will wander freely. No, he says, after some time, you will come to see me personally in the abode of liberation, and you will feel extreme bliss in your hearts. So Gopkumar leaves. He leaves heaven. He comes back to earth. So he has a thing about going up and down. Comes back to earth, and it's described that his third meeting with the spiritual master. Now, for those who are learned, it's like one day of Brahma is 8,400,000,000 years. Is that it? 8 billion. That's a day is 8,400,000,000, and a night is 8,400,000,000 years. That's a long time, right? And Brahma lives for 100 years. So that's a lot of time. It's been a real long time since he's met a spiritual master. A very long time. But he comes back to Vrindavan, and he says, remembering the Supreme Lord's order, I wandered throughout Vrindavan. And when I entered, my dear Brahman, when I entered this exact same grove that we're sitting in today, I saw my spiritual master unconscious in the trance of love. With great endeavor, I brought that all-knowing sage back to normal. And when he saw me bowing down before him, he embraced me, understanding the desire of my heart. He bathed, and he taught me various rules for worshiping and meditating on the mantra he had given. Some of the instructions he spoke, and other instructions he just made gestures. Sanatana Goswami says that some of the instructions he spoke and other instructions he just gestured, because those instructions specifically dealt with Madan Gopal. He couldn't say the name of Madan Gopal, because if he said it, Guru Maharaj would have gone into ecstasy again and would have totally lost the plot. And then Guru Maharaj, he tells him, because you are very dear to me, I have now given you everything I possess. By the power of this mantra, you will understand and attain everything on your own. He begins to chant the way that Guru Maharaj instructs him. His body transforms. It becomes a transcendental body. He starts traveling out of the universe. He starts going through the coverings of the universe. And each covering of the universe, he sees the deity who's present there. He sees the worshiper. He comes to the last covering of the universe, which is the Pradhan. He sees the deity who is worshipped there, which is the Mohini Murti. And he sees the worshiper, who is Durga Devi. And they look at him. They say, would you like to stay for a while and do the puja? And he goes, no. He keeps chanting his mantra, and boom, he goes into the Brahman effulgence. And even though he's in the Brahman effulgence, he is chanting his mantra with such intensity that he can see through the light of the Brahman, and he can see the form of the Lord that the light is coming from, who's known as Mahakal. He can actually see Krishna. This is how intense his desire was to see Krishna, to touch Krishna. Then something interesting happened. He said, sometimes I was thinking I would want to merge into that light, but at that time I would always think of Lord Jagannath in Puri, and Lord Jagannath would save me. He says, so I was wandering there in Brahman. He said, and then I turned and I saw these phenomenal people, and it was Lord Shiva. And it was Parvati. And it was the associates of Lord Shiva. He said, I'd never seen anything like that before. And he was trying to figure out, who is this person? Who is this person? And then Lord Shiva, who knows everybody's mind, told Nandishwar, said, do mental telepathy. He said, tell him who I am. He said, this is Shiva. He is the greatest of Vaishnavas. And so the boy is like overwhelmed. He said, I've never seen anything as opulent as this before. How can I get his mercy? And while he's like he's looking at Lord Shiva, all of a sudden the celestial music starts coming from behind. And when the celestial music starts, Shiva gets crazy. And Shiva gets up and he starts dancing. And Parvati looks at Shiva and he's going, go for it. Yeah. And she starts clapping and everybody's like encouraging Lord Shiva. And the boy's going, where's the music coming from? And he turns around and he sees these celestial people, and it's Vaikuntha Dutas. And they're the associates of the Lord from Vaikuntha. And what they're doing is they're coming from Vaikuntha, and they're coming down through the Brahman, and they're traveling into the material world, and they're spreading the holy names of the Lord, and they're giving mercy to people so that they can go back to Godhead. And the boy starts to think, gosh, I wish that I could attain their mercy, but I'm not qualified. And he was thinking, maybe if I got the mercy of Lord Shiva, I could get mercy from them. And he started thinking like that, he just fainted. And because Lord Shiva is so compassionate, Lord Shiva came over and started to embrace him and get him up. And then Lord Shiva started speaking about Vaikuntha. And I gotta wrap it up, and we're only like, we're so far from where we have to go.
Next year.
Hey.
Yeah? Please.
When he receives the mercy of Lord Shiva, then the Vaikuntha people begin to speak to them. And, no, Shiva. Shiva speaks to them. And Lord Shiva says, he says, my dear boy, it's very difficult for me to remain in Vaikuntha. He said, I have a planet in Vaikuntha where I stay with my wife Parvati. And on my planet, he said, all we do is kirtan. He said, we just have kirtan going on 24 hours a day, eternally. That's all we do. We're always chanting Krishna's name on my planet. He says, but it's really difficult even for me and Parvati to stay over there all the time. He says, but you deserve to go to Vaikuntha, O son of a Govardhan cowherd, for you are a devotee of the Lord of Mathura, a disciple of a Brahman attached only to the Lord's devotional service, a soul dedicated to the Lord's mantra given to you by your guru, and faithful in your service to the Lord. Yet, even here, you have seen the Supreme Lord in this form because your divine guru gave you mercy, meaning you've seen the Lord in Brahman, and you're only supposed to see light in Brahman, but you've seen the Lord's form because your guru has given you mercy. And then the Vaikuntha Dutas speak. Oh boy, what a discussion. We got to wrap it up. But the Vaikuntha Dutas, they explain, O worshipper of the transcendental mantra of our Lord, O beloved of the husband of Uma, O son of the cowherd, indeed we count you among the best of the Lord's devotees. Born in the country of Goda, on the banks of the Ganga, was a first-class Mathura Brahmin named Jayanta. He's an incarnation of Krishna, and he is your exalted spiritual master. Accept as true that we have come here only for your sake, and please hear what is beneficial for you to do. If you want to reach Vaikuntha, then give up everything and with pure love, practice the 9 forms of devotional service. So when they say give up everything, they're saying leave Mahakalpur. And when they say, then there's a long discussion, and it's a fantastic discussion, and everybody should get that book so they can read this discussion, because we're not going to have time to go through that discussion. But basically the discussion, they start discussing what is more powerful, meditation or Nam Sankirtan. And their conclusion is Nam Sankirtan is best. And they say, and they tell him, they say that you have great qualification and you have great blessings, because even when sages like Sanat Kumar and Sanatan Kumar and Sanaka Kumar, when they were trying to convince you to meditate, you refused because you just wanted to chant the mantra given to you by your spiritual master. That is your great qualification. And then they say that Nam Sankirtan is greater than meditation. And then they say, well, actually, we want you to understand one thing. Nam Sankirtan and meditation are really not different. He said, because when one engages in chanting the holy names of the Lord, then all of the Lord's activities will become manifest within the heart and mind of the chanter. And then when one thinks of the activities of the Lord while engaging in Sankirtan, then his Sankirtan becomes infinitely sweeter. And so then they go into like a Nama Mahatyam, which is so beautiful, and which we unfortunately don't have time to go through. And then they tell him something very, 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 very interesting. Don't stay here. Don't stay in the abode of liberation. They say, go to Vaikuntha. You have the qualification to go to Vaikuntha. And they say, please, this is something very important for all of us. They tell him, please, my dear boy, be mindful of this fact. And he goes, yes, what is it? And they tell him, on your journey, many times you will have questions. On your journey, many times you will have doubts. On your journey, many times you will face challenging situations. But know for certain that because you are the chanter of the holy names of the Lord, we assure as Vaikuntha Dutas, we've got your back. That's exactly what they say. They say, we've got your back, we'll always protect you. And the same goes for all of us. If we sincerely chant the holy names of the Lord, these Vaikuntha people, they will always cover us and they will always protect us. And so they say, immediately leave this abode of liberation, immediately. And they tell him, they say, but if you're going to go to Vaikuntha, you have to change the quality of your chanting. And he goes, say what? And you have to change the quality of your chanting. You can't just chant anymore because you've been told to chant. Now you have to chant with love. And he goes, how am I going to chant with love? And they say, oh, that's very easy. If you want to chant with love for the Lord, study the Srimad Bhagavatam. Study all of the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then you will love Krishna. And he says, where should I study? And they say, the best place to go for all of your spiritual desires to become fulfilled is Vrindavan. Go to the land of Braja immediately. And so basically, he bows down to offer his obeisances to the Vaikuntha Dutas. And when he comes back up, he tells his disciple, I was in this same grove again on the banks of the Jamuna, He said, billions and billions of years had passed. Nothing in this world appeared to be the same, but Mathura hadn't changed at all. Vrindavan hadn't changed at all. Imagine how advanced he was by that stage of his devotional service. And then he said, I was wandering. He says, almost as if I was dazed. I was wandering on the banks of the Jamuna. He said, I came upon a group of Brahmins who were studying Srimad Bhagavatam. So I sat down with them and they taught me Srimad Bhagavatam. And I was in ecstasy. And then I will just describe, hopefully, if I can get my machine to work. Boy, I better hurry up. I'm getting a lot of trouble. Yikes. He says, I wandered alone, observing on the earth a splendor I had never seen before. Taking up residence in a forest, as if in a daze, I forgot everything from before. He's very advanced. He's very, very, he's like at the position of a Shakti. And then Anartha Nivritti, and then Nishta, and then Ruchi, and then a Shakti. A Shakti means he's totally attached to Krishna. That's where he's come to through the chanting of his holy names. And at the position of Ashakti, the Lord bestows his mercy, and then material existence is ended. He says, I forgot everything from before. In the course of my playful wanderings, I came to Mathura, Sri Madhupuri. There I heard the Bhagavatam and other scriptures from local Brahmins. After rightly understanding the meaning of devotional service in nine forms, I came to this forest. And as soon as I arrived in this forest, I met my divine spiritual master. Billions, billions, billions of years have passed, and he's meeting his spiritual master again. My Guru Maharaj appeared as splendid as he always was. When he saw me lying before him, he joyfully embraced me. He gave me all of his blessings. Thus, my all-knowing master showed me his extreme mercy. Receiving his grace, which revealed to me the most confidential secrets, I followed his instructions by practicing bhakti yoga without interruption. There's a verse in the second canto, Muktir Hitvanyata Rupam Swarupena Vyavastiti. The liberation for the devotees, it has two divisions. The first division of liberation is that all material conceptions of life finished. And then Swarupena Vyavastiti. Then one's constitutional nature arises. Gop Kumar was blessed by a spiritual master. His material existence was finished. From that point, he started seeing Krishna. Krishna would appear, Krishna would disappear. One day he was running for Krishna, Krishna disappeared. He fell down on the ground, so much overcome with separation from Krishna. At that moment, a plane came from Vaikuntha, put him on board, take him to the spiritual world. Vaikuntha. He woke up on the plane. His friends that he had met in the Brahman from Vaikuntha, they were there. They looked at him and they said, welcome, we're going to Vaikuntha. They said, but you know, in Vaikuntha, people don't dress like you do. You know, in Vaikuntha, everybody has four arms and, you know, we dress quite nicely over there. Could we change your form? And no, Guru Maharaj told me always to remain as a cowherd boy. It's going to look weird, you know, people don't dress like that over there. And they said, okay, well, look, you know, you can keep your form, but since you're going to the spiritual world, we have to load you with all of the Vaikuntha operating systems so that you get like a supercharged turbo Vaikuntha body. He said, go ahead. So then he had so many, and now he has like pure love. But we'll see again, it's not the topmost form of love. Please don't think that all love is the same. He goes, he sees the devotees who have love in Vaikuntha for Lord Narayan. He goes to Ayodhya. He sees the pure love they have for Ram. He goes to Dwarka. And Dwarka basically is the last stop in Vaikuntha before Goloka. And he's seeing the pure love that they all have, and he's seeing the Lord in each place, and he's overwhelmed in ecstasy with love, but something always happens. I'm not satisfied here, because it's not Madan Gopal. And finally in Dwarka, he meets Narada Muni and he meets Uddhava. And that's the big discussion. Get the book and read it. And Narada Muni looks at him and says, "Hey, what's the matter with you?" He says, "I've seen you on your entire journey, every place that you've gone. You've always been dissatisfied. What's the matter with you?" And he said, "Here in Dwarka, you're dissatisfied also." And then Narada says, "You know, I wanted to discuss this with you for a long time." He said, "But I couldn't, because you can't discuss these topics in places where the Lord is worshipped because he's God." He said, "But here it's very intimate because it's just you and Uddhava and me, and we're in Uddhava's house. Let's discuss." And Narada starts speaking about prema. And he starts speaking about how rare and exalted is the prema of Goloka Vrindavan. And Narada discusses, and he says, "You know, I've discussed as far as I can." He said, "It's not possible for me to say anything else." He said, "If you really want to understand anything more about prema, you can only do it if you will directly meet the goddess of love, Sri Radhika. And she herself explains it to you, and if you're able to understand what she says, then you can understand what is love." It says, if you directly meet Sri Radhika, she explains it, and if you have the power to understand what she's saying, then you can understand what love is. And he says, "Or if you ever happen to come in contact with a full incarnation of Sri Krishna, who is liberally spreading love throughout the universe, then you can understand what is love. But for myself, I can't say anything more." And then Uddhava begins to speak. Oh, then Uddhava begins to speak. Narada says, "If you want to know love, if you want to see Madan Gopal," he said, I'll give you a hint. "Here in Vaikuntha, there's a Purushottam Kshetra. And I know that you have this relationship with Jagannath, and Jagannath has always been kind to you. I would suggest that you go to Purushottam Kshetra in the spiritual world here. And when Jagannath comes, he comes with all the different forms of Krishna inside of him. And you worship Jagannath, and he will show you the form of Madan Gopal." And Uddhava, you know, who's Krishna's friend in Dwarka, he said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Why should you go to Purushottam Kshetra for that?" He said, "Dwarkanath he's got all the forms of Krishna inside also. He said he can do that if he just worships Dwarkanath. But then Uddhava says something very interesting. He says, look, you could go to Purushottam Kshetra, but you know what's going to happen? You're going to see the face of Jagannath and you're going to be in ecstasy. And you're going to see the festivals and you're going to be in ecstasy. And you're going to taste the prasadam and you're going to be in ecstasy. And being so much in ecstasy, you won't feel separation. And unless you feel separation or viraha, then the spirit of true humility will not arise within your heart. And without humility, prema will never come. So he gives him a formula. Separation, viraha, humility, and then prema. And Sanatana Goswami says that humility and prema cannot really be separated. He says that dānya is an essential component of prema. And the example that he gives, he speaks about the greatest transcendentalists who were the gopis of Vrindavan. But when they were separated from Krishna, they felt themselves to be totally hopeless, totally useless. And in that state of first viraha, then dānya, and then their prema bhav just swelled like the ocean. And so they told him, they said, look, don't go to a place where there's going to be a festival. Go to some place where you'll feel separation. He said, where should I go? He said, the devotees of the Lord, they go to Gokula. Gokul means Vrindavan on the earth, and Goloka means Vrindavan in the spiritual sky. The Lord's devotees always go to Vrindavan. They go to Gokula. And there, Gurudev takes them on Parikram. And there, at Govardhan, Gurudev gives lectures and he describes, this is what he did at Govardhan. And then Gurudev takes them over to Gokula and he says, this is what he did when Jasoda was trying to bind him up. And then they go to Javat and Gurudev says, well, this is what they did when Javat pastimes were going out. This is what devotees do. They're always looking for Krishna in Vrindavan. They're always hankering for Krishna. They're feeling separation from Krishna. And in that mood of separation, humility comes out. I can't hear him. I'm unqualified. I'm unfit. And only in that stage can Brahma Bhakti come. So they said, go to Gokula. And I'm going to wrap up in 3 more minutes, I swear to God. So he's standing there and he's listening to Narada Muni and Uddhava. And they say, go. And he's standing there. And Uddhava reads his mind. And Uddhava knows what he's thinking. And what the boy is thinking is this, but Lord Dwarkanath is here. And I should go and take permission to leave. And Uddhava is thinking, no. If he goes and if he sees Krishna as Dwarkanath again, just by seeing Krishna, he's become distracted from his sadhya, from his goal. He's going to become distracted. So Uddhava tells him, No, you don't have to go and say goodbye. You're going to Vrindavan. And Vrindavan is the place that he loves more than any place else in the universe. So just go, jao. And then, what does Gop Kumar say? Gop Kumar says, just for a second, I closed my eyes. He said, I wasn't sleeping, but I closed my eyes. He said, in that second, it was like somebody tackled me. And then I opened my eyes again, and I was in Vrindavan. And the person who tackled him and took him to Vrindavan was Dwarkanath himself. He said, he has to go. And Dwarkanath had him close his eyes because he knew that if the boy opened his eyes while he was in the arms of the Lord, he would have become distracted from reaching his goal. And he said, I got to Vrindavan. I started just running and crying, looking for Krishna everywhere. I was running here, I was running there. He said, one day I looked up and he was standing in front of me. And he said, I didn't know what to do. So he said, I just immediately dove at him and I grabbed his dhoti. I tried to grab his dhoti. And he said, at that moment, he slipped away. And I start, oh, another thing, excuse me. He says, I got to Gokula. I was looking for him. And I was like, where is he? Have I literally wasted billions and billions and billions of years looking for this cheater who's never going to show himself to me? Have I wasted my life on being a Hari? And finally, he appeared. And I dove at him, and I tried to grab him, and he slipped out from my reach. And I said, you cheater! You're going to disappear again? You're going to disappear again? Where have you gone? And he said, at that moment, I became so overwhelmed and destroyed by this feeling of separation, this flood of humility came out of my heart. And then I was overwhelmed with prema. And he said, then I started moving. And he said, I started going straight up. He said, I started traveling faster than any travels that I'd ever taken before. And he said, I was only going in one direction, that was straight up. And he said, and then I looked up and I was at Vishramghat in Vrindavan, in Mathura, in Goloka Vrindavan. And we'd like to close on saying, get the book and find out what happened when he was in Goloka Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada ki. He was not in Goswami ki. Excuse me for screwing up the schedule ki.
One more round of applause for his orders. Bhakti Vrindavan Goswami, everybody. We thank you so much, Maharaj, for coming all the way here to Australia to be with us this weekend and share such nice pastimes from Brihad Bhagavatam Rupa. So everyone, following Maharaj's instructions, we can all go to the side of the stage here and purchase our copies of Brihad Bhagavatam Rupa. There's still a festival discount available for ordering the books. So if you make your way just to the side of the stage here, you can all order your copies. Also, maybe if we can show some enthusiasm, we could possibly convince Maharaj to come back next year and keep lecturing. Who would like Maharaj to come back next year? Keep lecturing. So now we're going to have a short break for breakfast. We'll actually meet back here at 10:30 because class has gone a little longer, so we'll give some more time for